Welcome back. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Summer's on its way, and that's often the season for leisurely afternoons spent curled up with a book, or for many of you, perhaps a Kindle or iPad. So to get into the season, we want to hear your picks for best fiction and nonfiction books to read on long summer days. And we have two guests here to help us with some of their favorites. Kevin Hunsanger is co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music. Welcome.
Thank you, Holly. Good morning.
And Janelle Feyerabend is director of bookselling at Book Passage Bookstore.
Thank you, Holly.
Nice to have you here. And we also want to hear from you. What are you reading right now? What is your favorite book so far this year? And what are some of your all-time favorites, fiction and nonfiction? You can give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also drop us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And we're compiling this list and we'll put it there at the website. That's yourcallradio.org. So let me first start with Kevin and Janelle here. So what are you reading? What's on your bookshelf? What you got for us?
Well, it's always a flood. You know, we've been talking about this, Jen and I, that's how much comes across our counters and our nightstands as professional booksellers. And it's just a million things to choose from. But I think right now, it's so timely, so much in the news about zombies these days. I'm really kind of getting concerned, and I was worried that there might not really be a way out for us humans. But then I discovered the young adult anthology Zombies vs. Unicorns.
We found a way out.
And as it turns out, yeah, the zombies do have a nemesis in the unicorn. This anthology by Black and Larbaleister is pretty unique in that both of the editors have, each one has their strong affinity, one for the zombie, one for the unicorn. And this anthology is, it collects 20 short stories by best-selling young adult authors who really have a sense of freedom in this. It reads more like an adult book. There's a lot of language, some sex, some drugs, and a little bit of violence, of course, because it is zombies versus unicorns.
Unicorns are violent?
Unicorns can be violent when they have to defend themselves, of course, and save the human race from zombies. But in between each story, the editors kind of go back and forth with each other about why that last story was so successful, why they're looking forward to this one, and why zombies are going to win the day, or why unicorns are going to,
running commentary. The book. Interesting.
Exactly. It's really fun. And like I said, it's it feels pretty liberating. Like these young adult authors really had a chance to, I don't know, shed their skin and just kind of go for broke. And so it's a wildly engaging anthology. Lots of interesting takes on things. Like, I learned where rainbows came from.
Where did they come from?
Unicorn methane. That's thanks to Garth Nix.
That's a euphemism. Unicorn methane.
Yeah. definitely very fun. And the kids who maybe don't have to go to school today and can stay home on a rainy day, this would be a perfect one for them if they're a little bit older than the young adult.
So what age are you talking about?
I would probably think 13 and up.
Okay, 13 and up. Yeah. Zombies versus unicorns. All right, let's ping pong back and forth here. Janelle.
All right. Well, I'll start with a couple of California-style books. I did a drive-by the bookstore last night on my way into the city and picked up about a million books. half the bookstore is here. But several of the California ones. First one is The Language of Flowers by Vanessa Diffenbaugh, and it's about an 18-year-old emancipated foster child who has a very mysterious and pained past. It takes place here in San Francisco, and I think most of you will recognize a lot of the locations, and in Sonoma as well. The author of the book was a very young foster mother, and so she speaks from experience. The young lady learns how to communicate with flowers and with the Victorian touch of knowing what flowers affect what emotions. So she is able to communicate with her new friends and with her pained past through flowers. It's a really fun book to read. One reason is you'll recognize all the locations.
And that one is The Language of Flowers?
And that one's The Language of Flowers by Diffenbaugh, a long last name. T.C. Boyle wrote an incredibly clever and typical T.C. Boyle book about the Channel Islands And it's called When the Killing's Done. And it's you start out reading the book thinking some of the folks are wearing white hats, some of the folks are wearing black hats. You're going out after invasive species on the Channel Islands, and you're thinking, oh, those people are bad who have introduced invasive species. And then you think the people are good because they're going in to remove the invasive species, both feral pigs and plants. But as T.C. Boyle does, he gets you all scrambled up in your brain about who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, and maybe there's a little of both in both. And he has you laughing out loud at some of the characters and the rattlesnakes in the back seat.
All right, let's go back to Kevin. Go ahead and give us another pick.
Okay. Speaking of San Francisco books, things set in San Francisco, another one for the young adult readers. It's called Bridge of Time by Lewis Busby. And this is a time travel book set in San Francisco. Two middle school students are on a field trip to Fort Point, and they kind of sneak off for a little bit, have a big lunch, take a nap, and when they wake up, the Golden Gate Bridge is gone. They realize that they've traveled back in time to the 1860s when they run into Mark Twain at Fort Point, who says, oh, you kids have become unstuck in time, too. So, you know, you got to put on these uniforms, and we got to sneak you out of here so that we can begin the adventure and get you back home. So they overshoot at a point, coming back to 2012, and end up in, I think, 2013, just a little bit in the future. But also set in San Francisco, a lot of great touches of San Francisco past, wonderful history. Mark Twain is such an engaging character, and for anyone who's interested in what the future will bring for San Francisco, also a good one, too. So that's Bridge of Time by Lewis Busby.
Bridge of Time. And Allie Budner is telling me that it's a Kurt Vonnegut phrase, unstuck in time?
That's probably true, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what is that? Bridge to Time. That's, and is that, again, for young people?
That's a young adult book. This one is definitely for the safe young adult readers on your list. The less than 13 readers.
Oh, yeah, great.
That'd
okay.
be fine. It's so, very clean, so, very well, enjoyable.
Like 10 and above?
Sure. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Just a really engaging tome.
And you're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kern, and I want to invite our listeners to join us in this discussion. If you have kids, what are your book recommendations for children and young adults? And what are you reading right now? Also, how are you reading? Are you still using books like we have here with us, or have you made the switch to e-books? And do you go to your local library? What are you seeing there? Also, do you patronize your local independent bookstores? Why or why not? Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And we want your recommendations for our annual summer book list. So give us a call at 866-798-8255. All right, let's hear from Kevin and Janelle about some more picks. Go ahead, Kevin, you start, and then we'll ping-pong
okay,
over
we'll
to Janelle.
Okay, then we'll pass it back. Yeah. Pinging on the palm.
Passing this baton back
sure.
and forth.
Sure. Well, summer means travel to a lot of people. And the book by Doug Mack that really rung my bell is called Europe on 5 Wrong Turns a Day. This is one man. He goes to 8 countries with one vintage travel guide. He discovers at a library sale a Frommer's guide to Europe on $5 a day.
Oh, no.
And he thinks, oh, how fun would this be, you know? Well, he's with his mother who sees this book in his hand. And she says, how did you know? I've been looking for that forever. Well, this is a very special book to her and his father when they were dating, and she traveled through Europe on her own. So with that book and a box of letters that his parents wrote to each other during this trip, he decides to revisit these locations using the Frommer's on $5 a day guidebook as strictly as he can. And what really emerges is, A, how much places really change, but B, just the effect of tourism on these touristed places like Venice. You know, it's just, he was done with it in 6 hours and 32 minutes, he said. It's just the throng of people and really thinks like that Disney might do better owning the city of Venice, you know, and organizing it better and making this, because the thousands and thousands of people that go to these places are putting real stress on these areas. And he comes to the conclusion that maybe going off the beaten path isn't the best way to see these great tourist meccas, but stay on the beaten path because the infrastructure is there and they're set up for it. So it's a pretty interesting look at tourism and just, boy, how much things have changed over the years. So that's Europe on Five Wrong Turns a Day by Doug Mack.
Europe on Five Wrong Turns a Day. All right, well, so speaking of stress, let me ask you before we get to more book picks, I want to ask you about business. Who's coming into independent bookstores? How is it going? Why don't we start with you, Janelle?
Oh, thank you, Holly. Well, Book Passage is going to have a unique set of people coming in over the summer because we have three conferences. We have a Children's Writers and Illustrators Conference in mid-June. We have a Mystery Writers Conference in mid-July.
Nice. Mystery Writers Conference in mid-July. We'll just take notes so we can put that on our website.
And in mid-August, we have a Travel Writers, Photographers, Food, and Wine Conference. So we're trying to hit almost everything throughout the summer, and we have good attendance at the conferences. And from the student base, we often get authors, and several years after they've been to one of the conferences. So here we have budding artists and authors coming through the system.
So those are ways to kind of increase people who are coming through your store?
It's a way to increase people coming through and basically living there for 4.5 days. Living on our doorstep, which is very, very fun. All of us super look forward to that because it's just a new set of energy. And it's like, for adults, it's like going to summer camp again.
Nice. And how's it going at Green Apple?
Oh, things are very exciting at Green Apple. We're celebrating our 45th anniversary this year, so we're scheming to have a week-long of parties or different little things like that. So we really are looking forward to having more people crammed in our ramshackle bookshop. But no, it's been a very successful season for us so far, and we're really looking forward to a strong summer.
And you know, you're talking about what's going well, which is fabulous, but I mean, this is a challenging time for booksellers. What are those challenges right now?
Well, we've talked about ebooks a little bit and the variety of ways that people are changing their reading habits, and that is certainly a challenge. I'm very gratified and optimistic the fact that the playing field has become somewhat level these days, that ebooks don't only need to be purchased on Amazon, but that you can purchase ebooks through your independent booksellers and like, you know,
so
Green Apple or Book Passage. Very simply,
you
go
online?
To our website, yeah. And if you have a Google account, because it is all tied in through the Google Library, you have a Google account, you have a Green Apple Books account, you buy it through Green Apple Books, just like you would a normal shopping cart transaction on any website, and it's automatically activated in your Google Library. So it's very easy to do. On our website, we have instructions for all the variety of players, or readers rather, because it can be a little confusing, the difference between a Nook or an iPad. So we can walk you through all of those things together. And
are you getting a lot of traffic on the website that
way?
We're
getting a decent amount of traffic. It's certainly not, we're not going to go toe-to-toe with Amazon for this, but we should be able to, and we can be able to. We've got the infrastructure. But no, on the whole, we really have a strong following of readers who love the books that Green Apple curates in our store. And with the variety of used books that we also offer, I think we have a pretty good approach and a pretty good angle to make all people happy in Green Apple.
Well, and so how is the rise of ebooks changing your business?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Janet, maybe you want to, we can ping pong this off.
I would say at Book Passage that we actually have people coming in to learn how to use the structure that is set up for purchasing ebooks. And come check with me, Janelle, at Book Passage. Check with Thomas at Book Passage. Zach, any of the booksellers should be able to walk you through the stages or the steps of purchasing an ebook. And as Kevin just said, it's so simple. All you need is a Google account to get it, to open up your whole world of that. However, I've also found that when they do come in to learn how to use the ebook system, they're also purchasing physical books. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that independent bookstores offer that the clouds don't offer, mm-hmm. or the cloudless don't offer, or Clueless, is the beauty of a physical book and the sense of community that you have once you walk sure. into the doors of a bookstore. It's just a unique community of people and exchange. And all over my floor at my house, I have stacks of books, and I will periodically move the top one down to the bottom and the bottom one up to the top just to see the artwork that is on the front of a book. Mm-hmm. Books are actually beautiful artistic items. So
it's like going into a gallery as well as a library.
Right, exactly. So a combination of e-books and physical books is, I think, where people are finding themselves, real readers are finding themselves.
And that's Janelle Feyerabend. She's the director of book selling at Book Passage Bookstore. We're also talking with Kevin Hunsanger, who's co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music. He's also on the board of Litquake. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan, and we want to invite you to join our conversation and let us know what is your recommendation for summer reading. 866-798-8255. That's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And do you go to your local independent bookstore? Let us know why or why not. And have you made the switch from physical paper books to e-readers? And let us know what that's been like. And if you have kids, what are your book recommendations for children and young adults? Also, do you remember a specific book that got you jazzed about reading? Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org, and you can post comments at yourcallradio.org. All right, so let's get back to these huge stacks of books. Go ahead, Kevin. Give us some more recommendations.
All right. Another book that has a San Francisco focus, it's Green Apple's current book of the month, which is the one book in the store that we offer an unconditional money-back guarantee on. Cash on the barrelhead. If you don't like it, bring it back and we'll just give you money. It's called Season of the Witch by David Talbot. And I know he was a guest last week.
He was a guest just last week. Oh, such a good book.
It's such a good book. For those not familiar with that or who missed the segment earlier, Season of the Witch is a San Francisco history book set in the tumultuous years of the mid-60s to the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and it really exposes the city's underbelly, the dark underbelly of San Francisco's past. So from the hippies, but he doesn't focus on the peace and love hippies, he focuses on the Hells Angels and, the really kind of sketchy end of the hippies and the violence and the drugs that kind of propelled us forward into this a decade of real chaos with the Zodiac killers, the zebra killings, Jim Jones, etc. And he, like a razor through the fog, he just isolates these moments, and these chapters are so readable, just little nuggets, one after the other after the other. Even for someone like myself, who's very well versed in San Francisco history, I was always able to find something new in each section. So
that's what surprised the heck out of me. I mean, I was too young to remember it firsthand, sure. but I thought I knew that history fairly well, and I learned so much in this book. Plus, it was such a page turner, and that's not easy to say about a history book always.
Very much so. The one book that springs to mind that was successful in this regard in the past was Herbert Ashbery's Barbary Coast, which was published, I think, in the 20s or the 30s, and he called it an informal history of San Francisco. So everything that he put into his book was gleaned from oral conversations and oral history. So while the Barbary Coast wasn't necessarily 100% factual or journalistic by all journalistic standards, it really gave you a feel and a flair for the city at the time. Season of the Witch has all the facts, but it also has that readability, that oral history. It is thoroughly engaging, and I'm not asking for my money back on this one. I loved it.
So you heard you'll get your money back if you go in and buy this book from Kevin. Okay, so let's see. Go ahead. We're going to ping back to Janelle.
Okay. So speaking of fog and cool weather, I'm going to just list three Irish books that if you have not read these fabulous Irish books, you must.
Irish books meaning Irish
Irish authors and Irish subjects all the way through and through. One is Seamus Dean's Reading in the Dark. It's a classic. It's literally a classic. It's seeing Ireland and the history of the Troubles and complications with parents' relationships and adult murders and through the eyes of a 10-year-old boy. So it's a fascinating read. It's beautifully written. Every word is carefully chosen. And even in the midst of the darkness, you'll laugh out loud. The Secret Scripture by Sebastian Barry. Sebastian Barry is an absolute perfect author. Is about a 99-year-old woman who is institutionalized when she's young for reasons that you will discover, one of them being that she's beautiful and the parish priest can't stand the thought of this woman's beauty being able to carry the town. So he institutionalizes her for one reason. And then she comes back 99 years later with her journal that she's kept under the floorboard of the institution. And as she's being forced to move out and her psychiatrist doctor discovers these papers, there's a whole new life that's been revealed. And the ending is superb.
And that one is called
The Secret Scripture by Sebastian Barry.
Great. Okay, and we'll get to the third in just a minute. Let's go to Katinka in Santa Cruz. Welcome to your call. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I wanted to recommend a book. It's young adult fiction called Fat Kid Rules the World by Joanna Going. And it's the story of a very large 16-year-old who befriends a homeless teenage drummer and who changes, they both change each other's world. And it's a really, really good read. It's a real good page turner, and my whole family loved it.
Well, thank you. Fat Kid Rules the World. It sounds like it's something you've heard of. Yeah, go ahead, Janelle.
Oh, I agree. I'm glad you mentioned that book. I would love to have a lot of kids reading that this summer.
Great. Fat Kid Rules the World. Thank you so much, Katinka. Do you have any others?
Well, I do have another one called A Dog's Purpose by Bruce Cameron. It's a story told from the point of view of a golden retriever and who has many incarnations through his and her many lives. It's a very heartwarming book, and again, our whole family enjoyed it.
So everybody, all ages, what would you say, 9 and up?
Yes, there are a few scenes in there. There's a little bit of sensuality, no violence, a few, you know, bad words. But the overall message and the way it's written is just so touching. And, you know, it really moved my 8-year-old daughter to read the whole book again. So
Katinka, how do you choose your books? And particularly, what do you look for in a book for young people, for your kids?
Boy, that's a good question. I think I look for something, first of all, that's going to pique their interest. Like for my daughter, I know she's into animals, and I had read the dog one I just mentioned. I forgot the name. But and so I knew Dog's Purpose, thank you. I knew that she would really enjoy it. So I read it out loud to her, and then she started reading it on her own. And my son, with Fat Kid Rules the World, I think it just speaks to teenagers in general about fitting in and acceptance and, you know, relationships. And I look for anything that's going to foster anything like that and tolerance.
And we've got Janelle and Kevin are nodding their heads here in studio. We're just a second before the break, so go ahead, Kevin. Yeah.
Well,
thanks, Katinka.
I just think that it's very important right now with the young adult fiction for parents to become involved in their children's reading. You know, it can be kind of very mature themes these days. The mold has been broken for young adults. So I think it's an exciting time, but it's also a really important time for parents to be involved and to know what's on the reading stand.
And that's Kevin Hunsanger. He's co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music. We're also speaking with Janelle Feyerabend, director of book selling at Book Passage. And we're talking about reading and the state of the bookselling world, and we're compiling our annual summer reading list. So we want to hear from you. What are you reading right now? Have you made the switch to e-books? What are the pros and cons of that? And do you have a suggestion of a great book to add to our list or a recommendation for young readers? You can call us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Your Call. We'll be right back after this short break.
Back to Your Call in just a moment. You know, employer matching gifts can help double or even triple your donation to KALW. Members working at more than 125 companies have already taken steps about asking their employers to match their contribution to local public radio. Well, won't you do the same? Just ask your HR department if your company has a matching gift program, and then you fill out some simple paperwork. You can see a list of Bay Area employers who have programs of this nature in place at kalw.org.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up next. And tomorrow we'll be discussing the future of the book industry. We'll talk about how e-books are changing the economy of publishing and creating an uncertain future for writers, readers, libraries, and booksellers. On Wednesday, Malihe Raz is on. We'll talk with Marion Nessel, a nutrition professor at New York University, about her latest book, Why Calories Count, From Science to Politics. And if you have a show idea for us, you can drop us a line at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are compiling our annual summer reading list, and we want to hear your recommendations. Give us a call at 1-866-798-TALK. That's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. All right, so let me get to some of our callers. First of all, we got an email that says, have your guests ever heard of the Kindle swindle?
No, but I'm so intrigued.
Okay, so email us more and send us some information, and that's something we will look up and put on our website, which is yourcallradio.org. And Kevin, right before the break, we were I promise I'll get to callers very, very quickly, but you mentioned that it was really important for parents to be involved in their book choices of their young readers.
Yes.
Why now more than ever?
Well, because I think that the level of maturity that is coming across in the young adult books today are far beyond what they've been in the past. And this is a wonderful thing. I think the gloves are off and we're finally able to, you know, treat kids right, you know, and with the respect and the nod to the maturity that they so obviously have. But you don't want to just not know what your kids are reading. I think it's fulfilling for the family. It brings everyone together. My wife and I are reading aloud to each other, you know, before bed. So things like that, where you just have a little bit awareness, because certain things can slide under the radar. And if you're not, you know, aware that certain books do deal with mature themes that maybe you're not, you know, wanting your children exposed to at this point in their life, it would be a real hard thing, you know, to, oh, whoa, what's that all about? You know, I had no idea. I just think it's important, you know, that you can share these things together. It's hard to, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of reading and the joy of books. It's a family affair.
That's nice. Yeah.
And I would say that over the last 3 or 4 years, there have been many more parent-child book clubs forming, and they've been coming in together, choosing their next month's book.
That's great.
And it's so much fun to watch the two different age groups arriving at the same title, you know, because they have to find their criteria together. So anyway, that's a new trend that I love seeing developed.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Kevin.
It is an interesting time for books like that as we go to the electronic reading. Now, let me try to think my point was of that. Oh, the parents and the children discovering the books together as a way of passing on this love of the book. We've got a generation of kids that are coming up that maybe don't have that ingrained passion, that experience of falling in love with books like we as adults were fortunate enough to. Now, they may not know reading other than on a phone or other than on a tablet. So the ability to bring your child into a bookstore and to walk the shelves with your kids and talk to other book lovers in that environment. That's the one thing that bookstores really do offer that are so different than just browsing the web.
Well, and speaking of book lovers, we've got a full bank of calls, and I want to get to them. Emailed us about the Kindle swindle, and this is information that I'm getting from a listener, so it is not vetted. But he says the Amazon Kindle provides convenience, but at the cost of freedom. When you purchase a Kindle, you must agree to the digital restrictions subscription management system, since all kinds of Kindle ebooks you purchase from Amazon are in their proprietary DRM format, you are also promising not to share them with friends. And because you promised not to circumvent the DRM, there's no way to move them to another device or computer. You're locked into Kindle and you are locked into Amazon. So just FYI for everybody, we are going to be discussing that. That will be the topic of tomorrow's Your Call. So we're going to leave that one for right now. Before I get to the callers, let me just say that Renee writes and says, Season of the Witch by David Talbot is what I'm reading right now, and I cannot put it down. If I'm not reading about it, I'm talking about it, and plan on seeing David Talbot speak at Book Passages this Thursday. It's a wonderful history of San Francisco, and all of us here agree. It's just a fabulous book. You both learn a lot, and it is a real page-turner. So let's go to David in Hayward. Welcome to your call.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very interested in everything you guys have been talking about. Before I forget, I wanted to recommend this new book, The Real Romney, by two Boston Globe reporters. It's pretty even-handed. By saying The Real Romney, it sounds kind of like a hit piece or something, but it's well-written. And at the same time I was reading that, I was reading The Executioner's Song by Norman Mailer. And it's, of course, about Gary Gilmore, and it's in Utah. And so you get a lot of information as a non-Mormon about the Mormon culture and things like that. And then I was going to mention Bill Pronzini's Nameless Detective series in terms of locales in San Francisco. He's extremely good. He's married to Marcia Muller, who also writes mysteries. And he's written lots and lots of these nameless detectives. And he talks about corners in the Mission District, places, you know, that I know intimately.
Great.
And I'll try to hurry up because I know there's a lot of people. I think the first book that got me turned on to reading was Catcher in the Rye, and my parents and my older brother had read it, and I wasn't into books at all. I was into sports and stuff, and that was the first book that got me into loving to read. I better get off so somebody else can come on, but thank you.
We sure appreciate it, David. Thank you so much.
Great
and let's
call.
Go to Viola in San Francisco. Welcome to your call.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to your call.
Nice to be talking to you. I'd like to recommend books for a younger reader. My son is 8, and this year the most compelling book we've read with him was actually Tales from the Odyssey by Mary Pope Osborne. Mm-hmm. And the other books that we've rediscovered are the series from the Hardy Boys.
Classic.
For adults, I'd like to recommend a book that is not so new, but that I have loved this year, which is A.S. Bias, the children's book, which is particularly poignant now that the exhibit at the Legion of Honor on the Victorian Cult of Beauty is on.
Mm.
And I think that if you read the book and then see the exhibit or do both at the same time, you really understand the conflict in the thinking of the time and the costumes of the time. So that was my reading for the year, and I think anybody who has a long summer ahead of them should be picking up these books.
Well, thank you so much for that. And if you'd like to join our conversation about books and add to our annual summer reading list, give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free number. I'm going to give it out one more time, 866-798-8255. And Janelle, you had 3 books on your Irish list, and I only let you tell us about 2. So go ahead, let's get to that third one, and then we'll get some more calls and emails.
Okay, just The End of the Fall. Is Star of the Sea by Joseph O'Connor. And Joseph O'Connor is once again just a superb Irish author. Anything that Joseph has written, one should read. This one takes place basically in 1847 and during the famine, and it has to do with the coffin ships coming from Ireland. One can only imagine why they're called the coffin ships. There were so many people who lost their lives on their way over to the U.S. and to the land of quote-unquote opportunity and new hopes. But, of course, when they arrive in New York, there's a whole new battle for them that they face. But I would say that this is one of the best books to read about 1800s Irish history, woven into great narrative and very understandable narrative.
All right. So there's our Irish trilogy. and an email from Anton says, here's a great Kindle edition for those into historical fiction, Miss Gone Overseas, a pillow book by Mitchell Ann Hagerstrom. either of you? And you can also get that through the websites of our independent booksellers,
quite
right?
possibly.
Book Passage
yeah.
or Green Apple. Yeah, quite
yeah.
possibly.
Yeah.
We can look them up. Just give us a call.
And all of this we're putting on our website, which is yourcallradio.org. You can email us with your book pick at feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. And let me read another email from Nancy. I just read Makeda by Randall Robinson. It's set in the South beginning in the 1950s. It's the story of a blind African-American grandmother as told by her grandson, who remembers many past lives in vivid detail from as far back as the 12th century in Africa, and also during slavery in the 19th century. It's a factual novel, a story told with actual facts. And Randall Robinson is a lecturer and professor of law at Penn State. It's an excellent novel. I couldn't put it down, so that'll go on to our list. She also wants to say, I wish she would have a participant from some African-American bookstore like Marcus or someone from Modern Times that could cover progressive readings for adults and kids. And I know that listeners in the past have also called with this. What are suggestions for books for kids of color? Anybody have any good suggestions, Janelle?
Well, let me think right this second. I did want to recommend, this is not for a child, though. It could be very much for a teenager. In fact, I would highly recommend it for age 14, 15 up. Salvage the Bones. It's the National Book Award winner from Jesmyne Ward, who is from Mississippi. She's from a very, in fact, I'm from that corner of the world, and I could put on my Southern accent if I needed to. But she is a serious young lady writer who comes from a small town in rural Mississippi, but close to the Gulf Coast. And Salvage the Bones, I put on one of the most important book list, because one must read this book. It's pretty powerful in the middle with the pit bull fight, but make it through that and you'll find out what keeps this family together once Katrina has hit.
Wow, okay, yeah. And that's Salvage the Bones. You just heard from Janelle Feyerabend, the director of book selling at Book Passage Bookstore. We're also joined by Kevin Hunsanger, who's co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music. And we're compiling our annual summer reading list. We're also talking about ebooks and wondering whether you've made the switch to electronic books. And do you remember what book made you passionate about reading? 1-866-798-8255. That's a toll-free number. We have a full line of calls, but the line will open up in just a moment. 866-798-TALK, or you can send us an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can also post a book at yourcallradio.org, and that's where we'll put our entire list. So let's go to Sharon in Redwood City. Welcome to Your Call.
Thank you. I review children's and young adult books, and I call you every time there's the book show.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. Before I forget, I did have to, I wanted to talk about, but the African-American ones, let me throw some out at you.
Okay.
Sharon Draper has a series, Stories That Julian Tells. Those are younger, second, third grade. One Crazy Summer by Rita Williams-Garcia got the Newbery. It's about the Black Panthers in the summer in Oakland, and it's fantastic.
Wonderful.
For older readers, The Astonishing Life of Octavia Nothing, that's definitely high school.
The Astonishing Life of Octavia Nothing?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Let's see, am I getting any other? Oh, and anything by Marilyn Nelson. Those are a little older. She does poetry books that will just hit you in the gut. One called Fortune's Bones, about a slave who, even after he dies, is still owned because his owner, and this is a true story, renders his bones and boils him and then hangs him up. So even after death, he belongs to him. Yeah, and she also did A Wreath for Emmett Till, which is amazing. A book on Miss Cranshaw's for Girls, Miss Crandall School for Girls, that she co-wrote with the woman who did the poem at Obama's inauguration.
And the book on Emmett Till is for young readers?
Oh, it's YA. It's definitely young adult because, you know, it's Emmett Till.
Right.
Fortune's
yeah.
Bones, I'd always kick up there, too. Miss Crandall's Girls could be younger. Oh, and the last one I'm thinking of for African-American is Claudette Colvin by Philip Hose, H-O-O-S-E.
Well, great, Sharon. Thank you. So,
and can so I get actually wait. Have two books I called about. Can I tell you about those?
Yeah, wait, hold on. Yes, you may. Hold on one second, Sharon. But Janelle wanted to get something in there about some of the
sure.
recommendations.
I just remembered a fabulous book, and it's from the 70s, but it's called Roll of Thunder, Hear My
Cry.
Absolutely. Everybody
and
must read that.
There are two sequels to that.
Right, and that's by Taylor.
Well, let's put all of those sequels on the website. We'll put this list at yourcallradio.org. Okay, Sharon, you had more for us.
Okay, for younger kids, there's Wonderstruck, which is by Brian Selznick.
You loved it.
Who just kicked butt, right, with Hugo Cabret.
Indeed.
And he does this different from Hugo because Hugo was linear with pictures and words. This one is, one story is told entirely in pictures because the young woman whose story it is deaf. And the other is told in word and pictures. And for people who really love books, and we all grew up on the Mixed Up Files, Mrs. Vasily Frankweiler, there are 5 tributes in Wonderstruck, or nods to, from the Mixed Up Files.
And Sharon, since you do this for a living, what was the book, or do you remember what was the first book that got you passionate about reading?
I have always been passionate about reading, but I became an author groupie when E.L. Konigsberg invited me to her home for tea when I was 10.
Lucky.
Yeah, that would
nice. Well, thank you so much for
thank
all
you.
Of those recommendations. Hold on one more sec. Kevin sounds like he wants
well,
to
Well, I just wanted to say that the
and
David
I have one more too.
The
okay.
David Selznick books are a perfect example of the direction that publishers really should look toward going to really make the book a unique object. These things, they leap off the shelves at you. If you haven't seen the actual book of Hugo Cabret and then Wonderstruck, it follows a similar format. They're very divided between graphic elements and text, and the process of reading them is it's very exciting on the page. You'll read through some text, and then it gets to like movie action sequences. So they pull you in ways that books, at least for me, I've never experienced reading. And I think to combat the e-reading, publishers really
video
could.
Games.
Yeah, publishers really could learn a little bit about changes in direction and ways to make the reading experience more pleasurable and more unique in a book. And David Selznick definitely did that with those 2 books.
Fantastic. And Sharon, you had one more.
I do. And it's so funny because Kevin keeps saying David Selznick, who is Brian Selznick's great uncle.
I'm so sorry. Of course. Right. The director.
Yeah, he's a director, right?
Yes.
So it's
but they are related. Yes. But the other one is definitely young adult, and it's called I Hunt Killers by Barry Leica, a kid whose father is the worst serial killer, or best serial killer of all time. He's killed 120-some people and has raised his son to be the next best one. And his son doesn't want to be, but he uses everything he learned from his father to catch a murderer.
Hmm. And Sharon, this is something you recommend for young adults? I mean, this would be something that I would sort of say, I don't want my daughter reading this.
I have a 15- and 18-year-old daughter, and I'm handing it to the 18-year-old, and the 15-year-old, I'm telling her, the body count is high, but keep it. And I didn't let her read Hunger Games until she was in 7th grade.
My daughter's reading Hunger Games, all of those, yeah.
Very violent.
And I wish parents would react, like you did, more strongly to violence than sex, because I find them not minding violence as much as they mind sex in books, which really bothers me.
Even here in the Bay Area?
Oh, even absolutely in the Bay Area. Parents are more afraid of sex than anything else.
I guess because it's more real, maybe, than violence.
Well, the important thing,
that's
as long
right.
as the parents stay involved, we don't have other agencies making these decisions for us, and books won't be banned. You know, we need to communicate with our kids, communicate with our families,
well
and
said.
Know what we're reading.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for all of your recommendations, Sharon, and we'll look forward to hearing you on our next book show. And here's an email from Marcia in San Francisco. She says, this old woman is still reading books on paper. I currently have 2 credit trade slips from Green Apple. My record-keeping skills are flabby, and a bag of books by the door for my next foray. For a terrific page-turner, I recommend a truly San Francisco book, McTeague, by Frank Norris.
Great.
So another classic here. It's an American minor classic, but don't let that stop you. Reading it is like watching an avalanche. A slow little start and some gentle activity, and the next thing you know, your pulse is racing and your mouth is dry and you're drained and limp at the end.
Ooh,
this is the book Von Stroheim, that name, turned into the movie Greed, a tragedy of its own kind when the film was lost. And let's go to Michael in Seaside. Welcome to your call, Michael.
Hi, how you doing? I only have one book to talk about. But first of all, I started gaining a love for reading while I was in grammar school. Our teacher would spend a half hour of every day reading to us, and one of the books I remember, first of all, was The Red Badge of Courage. That was really got my love of reading going, and I've been reading ever since. But one book I've read recently, I'm reading it for the 3rd time, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the author's name. My mind just went blank when I made the call. I guess it's nerves. But the name of the book is Little Friend, and it's set in rural Mississippi, and it's about a young girl. She's 12 years old. When she was a toddler, her little brother was found in the yard hanging, and now this girl, for some reason, is determined to find the killer. And so the book goes all around how she comes up with clues and tries to track the killer down, and it's really a fantastic book. I recommend it to anybody, and it's Little Friend.
Little Friend. Well, thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate that. And if you'd like to join our conversation and give us a recommendation, we're at 866-798-8255. We're running out of time, so we may not get to everybody, but it's 866-798-8255. You can also put a recommendation directly at the website, which is yourcallradio.org, and that's where we will post this entire list. And let's go to Marie-Louise in Palo Alto. Hi.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, the book I am recommending is a young adult book, and I read a number of those so that I can recommend them to young people and to my grandchildren when they get to that age. Anyway, this book is called The Ghost's Child, possessive, The Ghosts, not plural. And it's a little bit of a funny title. I have trouble with it every time I'm going to say it. I came to it when I had eye problem, and I listened on CD, and it is beautifully narrated. And I would say it is just as much for aging adults, because it has a lot to do with this. It's a girl who goes through time and her relationship with her father, and then someone she loves, and on it goes until she's an old woman. And it is so sensitive and fantastic. The writer is Sonia Hartnett. Hartnett. She is an Australian woman, and it's just great.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Marie-Louise. And let's go to Matt in Sausalito. And I'll try and read these emails in just a moment. Go ahead, okay. Matt. Welcome to your call.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. The book I wanted to recommend, and it's also the book that one of the books that developed my passion for reading. It's On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Mm. And it's a really good read for the summer in California, because a lot of the book actually takes place in California and in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And I think it's a very inspirational and very enjoyable read on a sunny afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's fantastic. And speaking of that, let's hear from both Kevin and Janelle. What was the book that really made you passionate about reading?
Well, I grew up with the Hardy Boys and would read them long after Lights Out by flashlight under the blankets, for sure. Jack London, probably when I got into real, adult reading, and definitely On the Road when I was in high school. I found that book by serendipity, and it changed me. I don't know if rereading it now would have the same effect. I try not to reread books that really touch me deeply, but On the Road was certainly a great one.
I would say the first book that I read from front to back several times over and helped me develop my sassy character is Eloise. And I was living in France at the time and read through all the Eloises, still have the original copies, and she just became my role model. And Astrid Lindgren's book on Pippi Longstocking was another one that I really loved. I loved her sassiness and her sense of adventure. And then moving down the pike in high school, I love Somerset Maugham. I just love those surprise endings and sense of being elsewhere. So anyway, always love to read.
And let me read two emails here from Lee. He's currently reading, or she, Thinking Fast and Slow and David Byrne's Bicycle Diaries, looking for some great fiction to add to the list. So you'll see a lot of that at yourcallradio.org. And another email is the recommendation of the book What Everybody Body Is Saying, An Ex-FBI Agent's Guide to Speed Reading People by Joe Navarro and Martin Carlins, it looks like. I found this to be very much worth the quick and easy read. Navarro has a well-developed talent for observation, and he has great sympathy and warmth for human beings, even the criminal ones. Bart in San Francisco sends us that email and says he only still reads paper books only. And so we just have a couple of minutes. Oh, let me get Anne says wanted to add to our list Lunch Bucket Paradise by Fred Setterberg, who I believe is local. It's a very funny, smart novel about growing up in the East Bay suburbs in the 50s and 60s. It's published by Heyday in Berkeley. Anne was just shortlisted for a Saroyan Prize, so thank you for that. And you can continue to give us some book recommendations at our website. It's yourcallradio.org, so we can just keep posting things there. We'll put the entire list up there. But so we just have our last couple of minutes, so go ahead and get in your final book recommendations. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right. Well, the one book that I really, really want to put in people's hands, not published yet, is coming out in August, but that still qualifies for summer. This is called The Dog Stars by Peter Heller. And I love this book so much. I want someone to read it so bad. I will give you my signed advance copy that I got from the author over dinner if you come into Green Apple and just ask for me and say you want to read Dog Stars, and it's still there. You can have it. This book is set in a post-apocalypse, and that's really selling the book short. It is more like a Garden of Eden in dystopia love story. It's also a story about a boy and his dog. It's also a story, a buddy story. It's written in the most beautifully poetic language that I've encountered. Graceful, graceful storytelling. Peter Heller is a contributor and editor at Outside Magazine and National Geographic. He's also a pilot. The protagonist in this book is a pilot, and I don't have time to begin. If you want this, come in and get it. I loved this book. You will too.
All right, so you can go to Green Apple Bookstore to get that. Becca Hoekstra says, The Nightly News by Jonathan Hickman. It's a graphic novel about how our mainstream media has a cult mentality. That's her recommendation. And then we got an email for two books about African countries in the 50s and 60s, Cutting for Stone, which I read and really enjoyed, and Half of a Yellow Sun. All right, so Janelle, you get 30 seconds to give us your final recommendation.
Okay, I'm just going to call out names now. One is Swamplandia by Karen Russell. Kooky, Different, Sensitive, Sweet. Louisiana Power and Light by Dufresne.
We're getting an applause on that one.
The Lost Saints of Tennessee, a wonderful new author about twin boys, one dies, and what happens with the other. A couple of recommendations for Father's Day, which is coming up. David McCullough's The Greater Journey, Americans in Paris, which is now out in paperback, and Lost in Shangri-La by Mitchell Zukov. And that is a plane going down on an island.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We have a bunch of emails. We'd really like you to go to the website because we can't post your emails. We need you to do it yourself. You can go to yourcallradio.org. We've been speaking with Janelle Feyerabend, director of bookselling at Book Passage Bookstore, and Kevin Hunsanger, who's co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music. They both invite you to go to their bookstores, and we'll put a link to all of this at yourcallradio.org. You can post more suggestions there. Thanks for joining us, and sorry we couldn't get to all of your emails. I'm Holly Kernan, and here's what's coming up tomorrow. Who will control the future of the book? On the Next Year Call, we'll talk about how e-books are changing the economy of publishing and creating an uncertain future for writers, readers, libraries, and booksellers. Apple and some major publishers are at the target of an antitrust suit that could ironically boost Amazon's already dominant position. Meanwhile, librarians are struggling to provide access to e-books. What's next and what's best for book lovers? It's Your Call with Matt Martin and you.